Jesus has surprised us this fall. Or maybe he hasn't surprised you. But in the stories we've retold, he sure has acted in surprising ways for his time, his culture, his status, and even for some pretty common human tendencies that are still common today. Do you remember how he has surprised us throughout the fall? For example, often we rush around and judge ourselves and others by how fast we move and how much we accomplish. But Jesus lingers. He lingers in conversation. He lingers in relationship. He lingers in God's presence and knows that that space is good enough to stay in. We don't have to look further than the daily news to find calls to violent retribution for harm that has been caused. But Jesus rebukes those who would respond in vengeance. He calls us to embody a gospel of peace. We also don't need to look further than the daily news to see walls being built between people, differences becoming divisions, and safety being claimed in uniformity. But Jesus invites all to the table who would lay down their weapons of war and become like children, trusting, creative, and able to make new friends. Even Jesus had a tempter come to him and say, "But the Bible clearly says," in a way that twisted and confused the call of God. But Jesus confronts a way of reading Scripture that doesn't take into account a larger picture of God's saving work and the continuing work of the Holy Spirit. Jesus confronts answers that come with no sacrifice and asks us questions that may cause us to lay down our lives for those God loves. Some pull away from what they don't understand, but Jesus chooses to reach out and touch those on the margins. Some accuse and cast out, but Jesus restores us to wholeness, restores us to relationship, and restores us to community. We might have thought that he would act like everyone else, but Jesus surprises. And we also might have thought that at some point, surely Jesus, even Jesus, would get tired of this path and move on to something else or avoid his coming execution. But Jesus holds fast. In all of his surprising words and actions and rule-breaking and expectation-shattering, Jesus held fast to the call of God in his life. He held fast to the incarnating of God in the world. Jesus did not waver. Even when he asked if the cup of suffering could be taken from him, he said, "Not what I want, Abba, Father, but what you want." Jesus holds fast. Even at the end of the Gospel of Mark, as we heard, as he sat listening to contradicting testimonies about himself, when the high priest asked him for an answer to these testimonies, his first response was not to leap to his own defense and to explain what everyone had got wrong. Jesus' first response, he was silent and did not answer. He does, a moment later, respond to the question of his identity as the Messiah. But that initial silence just seems weighted with significance. Even at the moment of his trial before the high priest, the chief priests, the elders and the scribes, the whole council, even in that room, Jesus was not going to play their games. He was not going to dance to their tune. He was going to see this through. As he had lived thus far, he would live his life to its end, uncompromisingly embodying and proclaiming the kingdom of God. Jesus holds fast in the face of corruption, violence, suffering, and his own death. How much more, then, do we trust Jesus to hold fast to us in the face of struggle, despair, loss, and even our own mortality? John in Revelation calls Jesus the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth, and him who loves us and freed us from our sins. Both John here and Jesus himself in Mark call our minds back to the book of Daniel, who saw a vision that became one to hold up in hope for a Messiah. Daniel saw one like a human being coming with the clouds of heaven, and he came to the Ancient One and was presented before him. To him was given dominion and glory and kingship, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away, and his kingship is one that shall never be destroyed. This vision, this hope, is one that covers all places, all times, all people. As Jesus holds fast to God's call, his scripture quotation triggers his listeners to remember a vision of the Ancient One who will grant an everlasting dominion that shall not pass away to one who comes as a human being but with God's own purposes at heart. At Jesus' suggestion that he is this one who is to be given dominion and glory and kingship, the high priest tears his clothes and says, "You've heard his blasphemy." But Jesus holds fast and does not let go until he is holding new resurrection life. And he is holding that life out to us. We may fear the changes of time and the feeling that life slips away between our fingers, but Jesus holds fast to us and to life. We may rightly grieve the losses of people we love, the relationships that have come undone, but Jesus holds fast to them and to life. In Jesus' hands, we find life. And it is not our job to hold on tight enough if all the energy you've got is to just lean in a little. Jesus holds fast to you, to the world, and to the resurrection power that brings new life in every spring, in every healing journey, in every brave beginning, and in that mystery of eternity, the capital L life that Freddie the Leaf discovered as he fell and saw the whole tree for the first time. Even into that great mystery, Jesus will hold us fast and show us what life is. Let's pray. Jesus, hold us fast. When we're grieving, do not leave us alone. When we're pulled in many directions, do not let us go. When we look toward the mysterious horizon, hold our hands at each new step. Jesus, hold us fast. Amen.